So today we're talking about light and darkness. And so I thought I'd share a few antidotes about each one of them as I Googled dark and light this week. So light is a beam of energy and it travels in wavelengths. Light is the only type of energy that we can see with our eyes. Light is made up of all colors mixed together. Plants turn light into food. Light is needed in order for so many modern technologies to work. And then there's darkness. True darkness doesn't exist really on Earth. The Earth is illuminated by natural light sources, stars, the moon, and the upper atmosphere zones can reflect sunlight even at night. Dark temporarily alters your senses. Dark triggers your imagination and creativity. Darkness enhances the significance of light. Today we're exploring one of the most famous scriptures, I think, out of the entire Bible, which means, you know, no pressure or anything to preach on this familiar passage. But before we get into our verses today, you need to know where it kind of falls in John 3. So earlier in the chapter, we know that we're introduced to a character named Nicodemus, who is a high-achieving Pharisee, and then there's Jesus. And they are in the middle of a conversation, and Nicodemus is asking questions and pushing back and kind of confused, but they are meeting in the dark, in the night. So with that, let's read John chapter 3, verses 16 through 21. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So I thought it'd be interesting to Google the phrase, what do Christians mean when they talk about darkness? Because I think it's important for us to know what people maybe first see when they look up something. When it comes to maybe particular passages or jargon that we use as Christians, it makes sense to us, but there's many outside the church that don't understand it. Or maybe they come to a church and they hear something, they're like, I don't know what that means. So it's important to kind of go time to time and see what pops up, what are people reading? So when I put that question in, this is what came up. Darkness is a life without Christ, living in a place of ignorance, deception, wickedness, corruption, and all kinds of evil works. Darkness symbolizes all that is negative, harmful, evil, and fearful. Darkness is anything that is anti-God, wicked, judgment, and death. So what are your thoughts on darkness? How would you define darkness? How do you feel about it? Are you fearful of it? Do you think of it as evil or bad? Are you tempted by the darkness? Do you ignore it? Do you find comfort or safety in it? I feel like darkness may be a little bit more complicated than we think. So Quakers believe that everyone has this inner light, and they capitalize inner and light. That every human being was created with this light, this presence of God, and we as United Methodists also believe that, but we more refer to it as the image of God. But I love that the Quakers call it light, because light is this powerful image. Light is found all through Scripture. And if you think about it, we use the term light or things that allude to it a lot. We say when a woman is pregnant that they are glowing, right? Although Pastor Julie said, no, I don't feel like I'm glowing, actually. Or maybe when people are in love, you think there's something about them. They seem to glow. They seem to radiate something. Or maybe there's people you know that they walk into a room and they light up the room. Or when you see something, or maybe your child sees something and their face lights up. Or maybe you think someone's smile can light up a room. We use the language of light a lot. In fact, I found this quote about light from this lighting company in the UK that I thought was really fascinating. It says, the power of light floods through our lives on a daily basis. It is present in so many forms and is arguably the most influential force on how we perceive and connect with the world around us. We live, communicate, and celebrate in all of its mediums. Light has the power to give life and save life. I loved that. It plays with our emotions and considerably affects the way we feel. We interact with this magical and intangible substance, whether natural or artificial, but often overlook or realize the significance or impact it has on us or the spaces we use. Its influence is frequently taken for granted, and many underestimate the authority it has on us. If you deal with depression or know someone who does, you can often see that maybe their light, whatever it is, has grown dim. Their face, their spirit, maybe their mannerisms. But it's a good reminder to know that you don't always see when someone struggles with depression either. Every winter, my husband anticipates the winter blues. As someone who deals with depression, he knows he has to work extra hard during those more gray days. In addition to talking to a psychiatrist and a counselor and taking medication, I lovingly remind him to go outside or to go on walks. Sometimes I'm not so lovingly about it. But a few years ago, he invested in something called a happy light. Maybe you're familiar with it. And it's this special light that they recommend for people that deal with depression or just get down during certain times of the year. So he keeps it in his office and he turns it on periodically. And it's not this cure-all sort of thing, but the power of light does something within him. It brings about some healing, some comfort, some assurance. Light does something. But it's easy to draw ourselves into the dark and stay there. When we are overwhelmed or hurting or confused or questioning or if we're depressed, the temptation to hide, the temptation to be in denial, or maybe you feel embarrassed about something, so you think it's just easier to hide in the dark. The darkness can be comforting to some. And then I learned this week that we do actually glow. We are bioluminescent, which is a very hard word to say. There was a study done in Japan in 2009 where they surveyed some adults and they saw that they actually glowed at certain times of the day. Now, this wasn't looking at their spirit or their emotions or what they were dealing with, but I couldn't help about people that maybe feel like their light has grown dim. Because there's things in life, there's circumstances, experiences, or there's lies, or there's pain that push people into the dark, and their light seems to grow dim. And maybe they start to believe things about themselves that just simply aren't true, and society can continue to push them there and barricade them so they can't get out. Now, you may be thinking, what does this have to do with the scripture? Now, I read this scripture, and I thought, and I prayed, and I listened, and maybe you think I'm not being true to the text today. I do want to acknowledge that yes, I see that some people live in the dark in the way through evil and that they do evil things. I don't deny that. But what kept coming forth as I thought about this is that a lot of people that find themselves in the dark, it's not of their choosing. And so maybe I needed to change my view, expand my definition of what dark means. So what does Jesus feel about this? How does Jesus fit into this? When I read the many stories of Jesus, probably just like you, there's something about the way he calls people out of their status quo. Not in a judgmental sort of way, but how he seems to see people that no one else does. He notices people. He stops what he is doing and he turns toward them and he sees them. He truly seems to see them. And some of the people he encounters, maybe they're overwhelmed or they're nervous. Many sometimes will fall down and bow. They don't want to meet his eyes, and not because Jesus has done anything particularly to them to make them feel that way, but society and those in authority have treated them in a certain way, similar to an abused animal who sometimes cowers away in a corner. Which is why whenever I picture Jesus interacting with the people in these stories, I always picture Jesus taking the first step forward and outreaching his hand. And I think that's an important image to keep in mind when we read these stories. He isn't afraid to go into the dark. He isn't afraid because even the darkness is light. Darkness can't even comprehend the light. I know we didn't read the part of Nicodemus, but I think Nicodemus so badly wanted to be in the light. But he was scared or nervous or whatever it is, so Jesus first went to him in the dark. First, Jesus goes to all people. Jesus doesn't sit and wait out at a distance. He doesn't seek to protect himself. He goes to the people that need him most. He seeks them out. He seeks out the darkness. And it made me wonder why so many stay in the dark then. And as I sat and I let the Spirit speak, it kind of came forth. Sometimes the dark is the only place people feel safe and accepted. What if they don't love the dark? What if in the dark they are scared and worried and lost and anxious or fearful, or maybe they're in pain? What if in the dark is the only place they feel safe enough to ask questions like Nicodemus? What if they're waiting for someone to come help them, to show them radical love and grace and patience and acceptance? Some would love to come out of the darkness, but they're terrified about what the light would feel like. When I go back to these verses, I am reminded that Jesus did not come to condemn. But we're pretty good at condemning people. No wonder so many want to stay in the dark. We have not made the light safe or easy or comfortable. For us, I wonder if our prayer for clarity could be, how can we help those best who are stuck in darkness? And not from a place of judgment, but how we can be a light through the power of Christ. How can we carry our light into those places full and then bring back grace and love? And maybe even a prayer of clarity could be to know the difference between what is light and dark, because sometimes we get them mixed up. There's a story of a woman who comes to a well midday. Maybe you're familiar with this story. Now, this analogy with darkness and light gets a little tricky, but I want you to stick with me. So normally going earlier in the day, maybe at dawn when it's darker, was the better, safer choice because it wasn't so hot. However, she has to go midday when it's bright and hottest to avoid the shame of other women there. She was a woman who at the time was very much less than. She was looked down upon. She was a Samaritan, so she was unclean. And Jesus the Jew asked her to draw him some water. But when I picture this scene, I wonder if Jesus was waiting there or if he showed up first. Whether the order of how he came, he made the light safe for her. He was able to change the way she entered a place. He changed how she could interact in the entire world because he made the light safe. He did not condemn or judge or ridicule. He met her with love and kindness and grace. And now she was free to go be with people and live, maybe for the first time. No longer in isolation, no longer afraid, no longer feeling shame. She could live freely in the light. And this is our work to do. This is our work to do. We have brothers and sisters waiting in the dark or even stuck, and they would love to come out if we'd be willing to love them and listen to them and encourage them and help them. So can we be the love of Christ and be part of making the light safe and loving? May we be bold enough to take that first step forward. Amen.